Monday, Tuesday, happy days. Wednesday, Thursday, happy days. Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, Sunday, happy days. Monday, Tuesday, happy
What's
days.
This? What's Wednesday, this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people! What was that bit before the theme music? I really am running out of ideas, aren't I? It's been like, what are we on, episode 50-something? 50-something? And yeah, I don't know what that was. It was something, wasn't it? It happened, it's over, let's move on. Time for the interactive bit. How are you? Yeah? They did what? That's disgusting. No, I don't want to hear anymore. That's disgusting. No, phone the police. Dirty. Well, that was a strange one, wasn't it? This episode's off to a bit of an interesting start, isn't it, really? And I can only blame the producers. I'll speak to them about it. Yeah, about the quality. Have I got anything to discuss? Yeah, the only thing, I've got two things. One was the fact that I've heard nothing from Frank the Tank after last week. If you didn't listen to last week, I'll just briefly update you that Frank the Tank sent in an idea for the podcast, something for me to discuss, which I had discussed about three episodes previous to receiving his email, and I shamed him. I'm not proud of that. This is a new thing in society. We call it podcast suggestion shaming. You've probably heard about it. It's been in the news a lot. Yeah, and I shamed Frank the Tank. I feel guilty about that. Frank's, well, I've never heard anything, so I'm guessing he's still upset. And then I got an email from Barry Grapefruit, and this is what it says. Dear Jack, as you know, I no longer listen to your podcast, but I was wondering if you would consider doing a segment where you interview a friend of yours from Sweden. I think this would be a fun segment for the show. Yeah, all right, Barry, we get it. Yeah, okay, so thanks very much for that. For those of you that listened to the podcast last episode, I did do an interview with someone from... It's not funny, to be honest. People sending in segments for stuff I've already talked about. It's not funny. Yeah, do you know what? Let's just do the thing. Here it comes. Show. This is the show. This is the greatest show. It's not the greatest show. It's a show about Christmas. Just get on with it.
Feigning joy and surprise, and the gifts we despise.
It's craptacular.
You may have noticed over the last few episodes that Bob Baker, the self-appointed podcast barman or bar person, we've got to say that now. What can I say? He called himself a barman. I'm going to call him a barman. He is a mun, and he has got a bar. Look, I don't want to argue about it. My self-appointed podcast barman, Bob Baker, you've probably noticed that he's had a lot of input in the show, which I'm loving, right? I really am. It's fantastic. But this happens, and then people just, like, tail off. So I'm interested to know how long this is going to keep going with my mate, Bob Baker. It'll be radio silence, probably, in, like, about a month. But for the moment, I'm enjoying his enthusiasm. So the first segment we got from Bob this week, he sent it in a couple of weeks ago, but told me to hang on to it because he'd sent in some other stuff anyway. It is his worst Christmas present ever, and I'm going to read it out as he sent it to me. Here it comes. My worst Christmas present was from my parents, and I'm sure there was no bad intent behind it, just bad timing. It was during my teenage years when I was heavy, awkward, and had bad acne. It was a miserable time for me at home and at school. For Christmas that year, my parents gave me a t-shirt with a picture of Frankenstein on it and the slogan that read, "Not just another pretty face." Again, I don't think they meant anything by it. They probably thought I would like it because it had Frankenstein on it, but it cut deep. I felt like my parents were saying publicly that I was ugly. I had to react and be cheerful, but I wanted to cry, causing more feelings of guilt and shame for a moody, mixed-up teen. I think of this incident often as I consider possible unintended consequences when buying gifts. Aww. missed... Oh, that's it, isn't it? I can't say anything else. Oh, your early teens are a tricky time, aren't they? You know, like when everything's going wrong, your hair gets greasy, all the spots all over your face and that. And the growth spurt as well, so you don't still know how to hold yourself. I was very lanky. I'm a tall guy. So as I grew suddenly, I sort of didn't know how to hold myself. Yeah. And then you get a T-shirt that tells you you're ugly from your parents. And that's the thing, isn't it? The kids at school can be hard enough. But when you've got your parents bullying you with T-shirts like that. Oh, dear. I know he's put... I know they didn't mean anything by it, so, yeah. And it's a good point, isn't it? You know, you've no idea how easy it is to offend someone when you get them stuff. People sometimes see things completely the wrong way. Anyway, thanks for sending that one in, Bob. This one of my favourite segments is the worst Christmas present ever. If you've got a worst Christmas present that you want to share with everyone, why haven't you sent it in? Is it because you're lazy? The answer is yes. Send it in. Bob's going to be back later in the show for his Do You Hear What I Hear segment, but now it's time for this. Yule lugs, you'll love them, I love them, we'll love them, we all love the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, those Yule lugs, yeah! Last week you might remember that I read out the story of shame from Travis Gronsdahl about the people he worked with opening a secret Santa gift because they were assholes. We discussed that, I used that word. Am I proud of it? Not really. Should I have used it just a second ago? Not really. Should we stop talking about assholes? Not really. Yeah, we should actually, yeah. So, Travis Gronsdahl, he sent me a Yule log as well. He said it's his favourite one, which is interesting because it's naff. No, it's all right. They're all naff, aren't they? Apart from like the really good ones, which aren't naff, which makes sense, I suppose. So, this one is the official DC Comics one from... It's DC, right? Is that like... You know, like when you say ATM machine... It's like you don't need to, or PIN number, you don't need to say the number because PIN is personal identification number, or ATM is, what is it, automatic transaction machine, I don't know, but the machine, and then you say machine at the end. So if I say DC Comics, isn't that, it's because it, wasn't it Dollar Comics, or was it Detective Comics? So I'm just saying Detective Comics Comics. I'm going to research it, hold on. Okay, I've put in what does DC stand for, and it stands for Desk Calculator, so that's that. Dealt with. Now, actually, the DC and DC Comics does stand for Detective Comics, so I'm saying Detective Comics Comics. Again, nothing to do with Christmas. Do you care? To be honest, actually, right, you might think, no, I don't care, but that is more interesting than the rest of this segment. So, you know, I've spoiled you at the start with the non-Christmas bit, haven't I? Yes, I have. Right, so... This is the official DC one. Only came out in Christmas 2021. Do you want to have a guess how many hits it's had? Because this is the official DC Comics one. Right, do you want to have a guess? How many hits? I can't hear you. Shout. Louder. Shout louder. Scream it. Scream it from the top of your lungs. No, you're wrong. The answer is 40,000. Which isn't that many, really, is it? I've been there when the girls are watching some real trolley of some little kid opening a toy, right? And it's got like 5 million hits. Do you want to know a story? This is true, right? About, oh, Robin was 1.5, so it's going back, what, 4.5 years? Holy crud. 4.5 years ago, one summer, I filmed, this is true, I'm not lying, this is not every word of this is true. I filmed a movie, it was like a documentary about Batman, and I was Batman, and Robin was obviously Robin. And she is like, so my sidekick was like an 18-month-old girl. And I had a mate play Bane. I had another mate play the Riddler. I had another mate play the Joker. It was very, very funny. And what I did was I took some snippets of it. And it was like it's a mockumentary type thing. Right? And I took some snippets of this mockumentary and I put them on YouTube. And I think the most any of those clips have got is less than 2,000. It might even be less than 1,000. It might even be a couple of hundred. What's that got to do with what we're talking about? Oh, yeah, and then these other kids are on there opening a blooming toy and showing you it, and they're getting, like, 5 million hits. What's that about? I have considered this, the old Batman film. I have considered, like, sticking the whole thing on there. That was the original plan, was to stick the whole thing on there. But after all, it's, like, 90 minutes long. It's a proper movie, and I think it's really funny because, well, that's my opinion, isn't it? But... I have thought about putting the whole film on there, but I just thought, what's the point? No one's going to watch the blooming thing. And when I started it, I think I wasn't allowed to put in a clip that was longer than I don't know, 20 minutes or something. I forget how it works. Anyway, that's my story about my Batman film that's not got any hits. If you are interested in seeing it, you're welcome to email me and I can send you a link to one or two of the clips or something if you're interested. I don't. Do what you want to do. It's your life. Can we just talk about this crappy old Yule log? Right. So, I'm going to tell you exactly what happens in it, right? It's 10 hours long. 10 hours. I'm not being funny. I reckon 2 hours is all you need. Maybe three. If you're going to just have it on in the background of an evening, who has a 10-hour long evening where they're happy to have that run? I suppose you could. So you have a party, starts at 8 o'clock. No one's going to turn up till 9 o'clock, but you put it on anyway, 8 o'clock, right? 10 hours, that's 6 p.m. the next morning. I reckon by then people will be like, why is that still on? What do you think? And I don't have parties till 6 in the morning anymore anyway. I'm lucky if I'm up beyond 10 o'clock, to be honest. On the weekends, maybe 11. But these having two young kids... This podcast is going to shit. I'm sorry about that. Look, did you see what just happened then? I'm going to get onto this blooming... Right, 10 hours long, though. That's very long. Right, so it starts off, right? I'd want to say it's interesting. It's not bloody interesting. Right, it starts off, and it's... all you can see is the logs, right, yeah? And... all of a sudden, it's like a laser comes in. It's Superman using his laser eyes, right? And he emblazons a Superman symbol on one of the logs, and then the whole thing bursts into flames, right? And then gradually, it starts to pan out. And it pans out very, very slowly, like over the course of like maybe like the first sort of half hour or something. The first maybe hour or first 40 minutes, some stuff happens, and then right at the very end. But like the majority of it, like 9 hours in the middle, nothing happens. It's like a 14 second, I counted, it's a 14 second loop of this fire just burning. So as it pans out, but this is before you can sort of see the rest of the hearth, is that the right word? Yeah, the fireplace. Like there's a blast of green laser, which I'm guessing is Green Lantern, and he sort of makes the flames turn green only for a short time. Then it carries on panning out a bit more, pans out, and it reveals stockings that are hung by the fire with care. There's four of them. One says Diana on it, one says Clark, one says Bruce, and one says Dick. Do you need me to tell you who they are? So you got obviously Diana is Wonder Woman, Clark is Superman, Bruce is Batman, and Dick is Robin. And then it pans out further and further and further, it takes a while, and then you see hanging above the fireplace, you've got Wonder Woman's rope, it's sort of like a garland almost. What is it, the rope of justice, rope of truth, who cares? And then there's like the fire, next to the fire there's like a Christmas tree which has got some ornaments of like cyborgs on there. I think another one's, is Wonder Woman one of the decorations? There's another one I didn't necessarily recognise. And Aquaman's trident is sort of leaning against the fireplace. So that happens, then you've got the big stretch where nothing happens. Then the Joker, the Joker comes in. You don't actually see his face, but you hear him laugh, and his body, and he puts a lump of coal in Bruce Wayne's stocking, so that's good. Then Robin comes in and replaces the Dick. No, Robin's arm comes in, she's got like the green glove, and he takes away Dick's stocking, and then an arm comes in after a little bit with Jason's stocking on it. And it's because that was when, for those of you that are fans of the comics, would know that the second Robin was called Jason Todd, and then he got killed by the Joker, and then it turned out he wasn't dead, and that was just the worst twist. I can't believe they did that, to bring him back after. And it was years later, it wasn't like a couple of years, we're talking like, I don't know, maybe 20 years later they brought him back. It's like, oh, what, can't anyone die in the comics? Right, I'm sorry, that's an aside. I think that's when the massive gap is. Then you've got the massive gap. Then Aquaman stokes the fire with his trident. All you see is his arm, I think. No, he just picks up the trident, stokes it for a bit, and then puts the thingy back. Then Alfred, again, you don't see his face, but you see a bloke in a black suit, brings in a table, and it's got like a teapot and a cup of tea on it. And then he brings in a first aid kit, so there's that. And then at the very end, Wonder Woman comes in, she touches her rope and it sort of glows along the rope, and then it spells Happy Holidays on the screen, and that's the end of it. Thank goodness. I think, to be honest, they should have just done it over an hour, because who's going to actually bother seeing the end bits? Now, I can't see it happening if you're going to put it on for 10 hours. I don't know why I do this segment, to be honest. I don't know. Is it filler? Travis Gronstall likes it. Tell me what you think, or don't. I don't know. I don't care. Let's do this. Okay, here we go, kids. I missed it last week, didn't I? I forgot all about it. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm thinking this week. Actually, I might have forgotten it the week before as well. Anyway, this is the joke of the episode, and it's going to make you laugh, is it? We'll see. This is coming again from Christmas Jokes for Grumpy Blokes by Nick Harris. So I'm doing quite well out of this. We're in June now. I've got nearly half a year out of it. I think I'll keep going, although some of them aren't particularly Christmassy. Oh, we discussed that. Right, let's carry on. Right, here we go. A woman asked her husband to buy her a 23-piece china tea set for Christmas. And on Christmas Day, she started to open her a present, and her husband said, "Oh, actually, honey, you're going to find I bought you a 46-piece china tea set." And she said, "Oh, that's generous of you. Thank you so much." He said, "No problem. Yeah, I dropped it as I was getting out of the car." That's the joke. How was it? How'd you feel? Okay, let's move on. You know what? I didn't really know what jingle to play for this segment because this is like a historical thing they've stopped doing. But let me read out the email. This was recommended. This segment I'm doing now was recommended by our anonymous technology correspondent, and this is what he's put: "I have a perfectly appropriate and serious topic suggestion for you: Feast of the Ass. It is, of course, French. Kind regards, and stop laughing at the back." And I like that. It is, of course, French. So there you go. That's why it's Christmas all over the world, because this is a French tradition. It's actually not anymore a French tradition. It was a medieval celebration. It hasn't been celebrated in many, many years, as far as I know. So the date of the Feast of the Ass was the 14th of January, and it was seen to be a byproduct of something that was going on at the time called the Feast of Fools, which was very similar to like the Lord of Misrule or the Boy Bishop or the King of the Bean, which was where someone who was a bit more lowly in the ranks, either in the church or in the court, as it were, they would be made king for a couple of days or for the day, and they would sort of boss everyone around. It was quite a lively affair, and I've got a feeling the Feast of Fools was more run by the church, and there was a lot of people that were a bit more pious, who were like, "You can't be behaving like that." I don't know what sort of stuff they were getting up to. It was the 15th century. It was medieval times. So what, were they running around naked, screaming and shouting? I don't know, bonking each other? Or do you say boinking? I've heard boinking in the States. What's that, boink? Why'd you chuck an eye in there? Just bonk. It's easier, quicker, the way I do it anyway. Where was I? At the time, they had a lot of these rowdy and lively feasts, and one of those ones they had was the Feast of the Ass. Now, the Feast of the Ass celebrates donkey-related stories that are in the Bible, most notably the flight into Egypt. Now, the flight into Egypt was seen as the final episode of the Nativity. You know, you obviously had the very beginning, like the angel coming to Mary, and then obviously going to Bethlehem, and then the shepherds and the wise men, and then Mary and Joseph leaving. And as the story goes, in the story of Matthew, it says an angel appeared to Joseph and told him to flee Bethlehem, and generally to flee Herod. And most pictures of the time show Mary being borne away on a donkey with Joseph. Now, it doesn't actually mention a donkey in the Bible, which I thought was interesting, because you think, you know, that we all know that they travelled to Bethlehem on a donkey. Although I haven't said that, I didn't double check, but maybe that's not in the Bible. Maybe they just doesn't say how they got there. But she was pregnant back then, so she's going to need to sit on a donkey, isn't she? Heavily pregnant as well, just before she gave birth. Yeah, so the celebration was pretty much, what would happen was, a young girl would ride into church on a donkey, and the donkey would sort of stand by the altar while everyone praised it and sung songs at it, and it stood there going, "What is going on?" They have no comprehension of what I am experiencing at this moment. That's probably what he was thinking, isn't it? Yeah. So then that was it. That was the Feast of the Ass. And then the Feast of Fools was totally condemned and stamped out, and as were similar festivals, this being one of them. So I don't know how long it lasted, probably a few hundred years. And it was like the 15th century when they said, "That's no, stop it. Stop it, you're making fools of yourselves. Well, it is the Feast of Fools. Yes, I know it's the Feast of Fools, but it's still disgusting. This is a church. This is a place of worship, not a place to run around with your tallywhacker hanging out. Now, come on, tuck yourself in and get that donkey out of here. Probably that's how it happened, I'm guessing. I mean, I wasn't there because it was 500 years ago, but I can't see it happening any other way. So yeah, that is the Feast of the Ass. I suppose they're pretty much just having a big party with a donkey in there, which is kind of like Bachelor Party. Didn't they have a donkey in that? They did, yes. You seen Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks? If you haven't, you should. It's alright. Is that the end of this segment? I don't know what's going on. I think it is the end of this segment. Let's do this instead.
Humbug.
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 Humbug. Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol was sent in by Bob Baker. That's right, he's here again. He emailed me about this ages ago, actually. He said, have you ever heard of this version? And he sent me a picture. And I hadn't. And it's called Ebenezer. And it is a film from 1998. And it stars Jack Palance in a Western version of A Christmas Carol. Now, Bob was kind enough to say, you know, if you haven't seen it, I'll send you a copy. But luckily, I picked up one off Amazon for like £2. So if you want to watch it, it's tricky to see on TV or streaming. But for £2, you could get yourself a DVD copy. And would I recommend it? Well, we'll wait to the end till we find out. So because it's a Western version, it's very different to your average version of A Christmas Carol. They've had to make a lot of changes. And I will run through the whole story for you. And some of you are thinking, oh, I don't have to listen to all this. But I'll try and make it fun. I can't promise it'll be fun, but I'll try and make it fun. And if I fail, at least you know I tried. How's that? Is that a deal? Yeah. See what happens. You'll learn something. Nothing interesting, nothing of any use to you, but you'll learn something. Right, so again, like I was saying, it's from 1998. It was made for television and it was originally shown in November 1998 on the TNT network in the States. And it stars, like I said, Jack Palance, and it also stars Ricky Schroeder. Ricky Schroeder, who you might know, he played Newt Dobbs in the TV version of Lonesome Dove, which is fantastic. He also played T.J. Flynn in the film The Champ. That was his first role. That's what made him famous. I don't know if you've ever seen The Champ. If you haven't seen it, goodness me. I've only ever seen it once, right? And I was probably younger than 10 years old. And I still think about that film. That was the first time I remember ever crying to have him watch something on TV. And me and my brother, we were inconsolable that night. I remember going to bed, brushing my teeth, crying my eyes out. It's, oh dear. But still watch it. It's a fantastic film. Can't believe my parents let me watch it, though. I don't know if they knew what happened at the end.
Can't wake up! Wake up!
Heartbreaking. Anyway, so I'm going to run through the whole story. Here it goes. So it starts off, Ebenezer, he runs a saloon, okay, and Bob Cratchit is like his barman. I'm going to miss out lots of the minor details because you can get those if you watch it yourself. So Cratchit works for Ebenezer, of course, as we all know, in the saloon. And this chap comes in called Sam, and he's playing cards with Ebenezer. And that's Ricky Schroeder's character. And they're playing cards, and there's a bit where they're sitting around and Scrooge is looking at his cards. We see his cards. He sneezes, leans forward, and when he leans back again, we see his cards again and they've changed. So we know that Scrooge is cheating. And he completely cleans out Sam, but then he's like, oh, well, how about, you know, one more hand and I will gamble everything here on the table. It's like loads of money that, you know, Scrooge has won. And Sam's like, I haven't got anything left. He goes, well, you've got your land. And Sam's like, yeah, okay then. Which is a bit silly, really. Do you know what I mean? They always say, only gamble as much as you're willing to lose. And he's already lost more than he wanted to lose. So, well, I might as well just bet my land away as well. He loses, and then he gets really angry and calls Scrooge a cheat. Now, this bothered me a bit, because he had no evidence that Scrooge was cheating. Now, although he had a hunch that Scrooge was cheating, he didn't have any evidence. And they actually have a fight, and he, like, punches Scrooge, and, like, stuff gets smashed. And while stuff's getting smashed, Scrooge keeps saying to Cratchit, make a note of this, he owes me 50 cents for that table, 50 cents for the glass, whatever. No, 50 cents a chair. I forget the ins and outs of it. I wasn't going to go in the minutiae, was I? Sorry about that. And then they go outside and Scrooge pulls his gun on him. It's funny because Scrooge is old, do you know what I mean? Like, at this point, Jack Palance was about 78 years old. So, you know, Ricky Schroeder should have been able to beat him up. But no, he's pretty tough, is Scrooge. And he pulls his gun and then says, right, you owe me so much money for the damage you've caused. And Sam's like, well, I haven't got any money. You've taken everything I've got. And he goes, well, I want your horse. And then just then, the police turn up. I don't understand this, because it's nephew Fred, and he's wearing like a red costume with like a round hat. And I don't know, I think this is set in Canada rather than the US, because I've never seen any lawman in the old westerns dressed like Fred is. He looks not good. It's not the height of fashion, is what I'd say. Anyway, he comes up and, you know, Scrooge is like, look, I didn't cheat. He owes me all this stuff. So young Sam has to give up his horse. But Scrooge does say you can stay in the house until after Christmas. So, because obviously he's won Sam's land as well. So Sam leaves. He's not happy. I wouldn't be happy if I'd lost all my worldly possessions. He's still got his clothes on his back, I suppose. So there's that. And he's got a very attractive girlfriend as well. And earlier on, they were talking about how they wanted to get married. Well, they're going to have to do a lot of saving now if they want to get married. Anyway, back inside the saloon, Cratchit's cleaning up the bar and he sees the cards under the table. Now, what Scrooge has got is this setup under the table where he can just reach for whatever card he needs to get a good hand. And Cratchit sees this, so he sacks Cratchit on Christmas Eve, and who should turn up just after he's been sacked is Tiny Tim. And Tiny Tim gives him this little wooden horse he's just carved, which was nice of him. Not so nice of Scrooge sacking his dad, though. So then Scrooge leaves, and he passes this, like, Native American. Do I say Indian? I don't know what the correct term is. I'm going to say Native American as he's walking down the street. And it's a bit weird because he sort of looks around the corner and she's disappeared. Yeah, and then he goes to this brothel to eat his lunch. I'm not quite sure why he goes to this brothel to eat his lunch. It's like once a year he goes in there to eat. But at this point we learn that Sam's girlfriend works at the brothel, but not doing what you might think someone at a brothel would do. She does the cooking and that, and the cleaning and that sort of stuff. Anyway, then he leaves, and he's not very nice to them, I guess. And there's a bloke in the street trying to get some money off him, and Scrooge is like, no, I'm not giving you any money. And then his old business partner turns up when Scrooge is back home, and his name is Jacob Marlowe rather than Jacob Marley. So see what they did there? They changed it by about two letters. And he does the usual spiel, pretty much, really. You know, you're going to be haunted by some ghosts, you've been out of order, you need to sort yourself out. So then, I am rushing through this. I won't lie to you. I'm not going to give you everything. Otherwise, you know, you could just watch it if I gave you everything. I could talk for an hour and a half, and that would tell you everything. That's good. We're going to carry on. So the Ghost of Christmas Past turns up, and she was the Native American woman that he saw in the street, and she's very attractive. Very beautiful woman they've got to play her, which was a bonus. And to be honest, her garb is not what you'd expect a proper Native American to wear. It looks more like a modern day stylized version, but you know, we'll let it pass. Scrooge makes some comment about Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, right?
Oh no, Ebenezer, but I have met her. Very nice.
So then she takes him back into the past, and we see him as a boy. Now this is quite interesting, because he's there and he's loving Christmas. He's young and he's singing a Christmas song, and he's at school. But then the schoolmaster tells him that he's got to leave. And this is interesting, because normally he hates school. You know, in the original story, he hates school. Well, in this version, he loves school, and he's gutted when he has to be taken out, and he's furious at his dad, and he hates his dad for it. But it turns out that his dad had to take him out of school because he just couldn't afford it anymore, because they were facing financial ruin. Yeah, and I think the idea is that was the turning point in Scrooge's life, where all of a sudden he became bitter and selfish. So then the next time we see Scrooge, he's grown up a bit now. And what's interesting is he's grown into a younger version of himself who looks nothing like the older version of himself. It's like, we need to get someone who looks like Jack Palance. Okay, has he got two legs? Yeah. Two arms? Yeah, he'll do. And that's what they did. He'd nothing like him. They didn't even try. I said, that's one thing you've got to give to A Muppet's Christmas Carol, is the chap that plays the young Scrooge. He looks a bit like Michael Caine. Not going to go into it. Well, I have gone into it. He looks nothing like him. So it's Christmas Eve. Fezziwig gives him a big bonus. He says, oh, can you take the money to the bank? Fezziwig leaves the shop, and Scrooge steals all the money, leaves a note for Fezziwig on the door saying, look, I've nicked all your money, but I'm going to give it back to you when I found gold, because he's been reading in the paper that gold's been discovered. And the wind blows the note away. So he's stolen the money from Fezziwig, he goes out looking for gold, doesn't find any, but he ends up getting work on a cattle ranch, and he ends up getting married to the daughter of the guy who owns the cattle ranch, which I thought was interesting because, you know, Scrooge is very rare that you actually see him get married. I think I've covered one version before where he ended up married. Yeah, I can only think of one that springs to mind. And Scrooge takes over the business because the dad's getting old and he's really ill, and he sells all the cattle off to in some dodgy business deal to some guy, and he doesn't tell the guy that all the cattle are sick. And so his wife leaves him on Christmas Day because he's a git, which is sort of fair, I suppose, isn't it? So after the Ghost of Christmas Past takes him back, then it cuts to Sam, you know, Ricky Schroeder, we were talking about earlier, who lost all his stuff. He's with his girlfriend or wife-to-be, and we find out that she is Jacob Marlowe's daughter, and she's still got this key to the saloon. So they go to the saloon, and they're trying to figure out what, like, how Scrooge cheated and that. And at this point, we find out that Sam's got really bad eyesight, and they find the cards under the table. So Sam goes to Scrooge's house, and he's outside, and calls him out and says, you know, I want a duel with you tomorrow. Which is, you know, instead of saying, look, I found the cards under the table, I'm going to tell everyone in town, he just says, no, I want a duel instead. So that's how they're going to deal with it. Well, fair enough, Sam. Okay. So then next, just an aside, I have seen other versions where Scrooge's journey, like with the three spirits, is interrupted by, like, the real world. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't know why. It's just because I'm a purist. I'm not sure what it is. I sort of maybe feel like it takes you out of the story. But that's what happens in this one. So then, yeah, the Ghost of Christmas Present comes up. And he's, I don't know what he is. Maybe this is an early version of the Mounties. But he's, because he's wearing like the red coat like a Mountie would wear. But he's got like a white pith helmet. So I'm guessing he's a Mountie. Because he says something about you're a lawman. So yeah, I guess that's what it is. And this guy takes him to see the Cratchits. It's quite interesting because he's there on a horse. So I guess he is a Mountie, I don't know. And he's got another horse for Scrooge. Scrooge gets on the horse and they're riding for ages. And I'm pretty sure that Cratchit just lived just across the street from him. But anyway, they're riding for ages through the clouds, which I guess is a nice ride. But the fact that it's the present as well, you don't need to go through the clouds just across the street. If they were going back in time, let's not go into it. They go to see the Cratchits. That's pretty much the same as the original. Then they go to see a lot of other people from the village that are having like a gathering. Really, it's Christmas Eve, I think, rather than Christmas Day. And they actually toast Scrooge. And Scrooge is like, why are they toasting me? I'm an arsehole. But Fred's sort of really standing up for him. And everyone does sort of join in the toast. So that's nice. So then the ghost takes him back. And who should turn up next but the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come? Is he called the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come?
And don't tell me. The Ghost of Christmas Future. Right?
No, it's not called the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come looks like the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. You know, he's got the hood and the robe and all that lot. And the first place he takes him is to the showdown that's going to happen with young Sam, who called him out earlier on. Right? Here's a question for you. How is that the Christmas of Yet to Come? Because it's this Christmas. It's Christmas Day. You can't say, yeah, it was tomorrow. That's yet to come. Well, in the book, it was Christmas Day. It wasn't Christmas Eve where the Ghost of Christmas Present takes him out to. So I'm not having that. I feel like they've let themselves down. You can't call it the Ghost of Christmas. They are bollocks. Who cares? Anyway, so we see the showdown and Scrooge is trying to get in the middle of himself standing like he's going to shoot Sam, and he shoots him and kills him, and Sam's dead and his girlfriend comes running out and she's not very happy about it. Actually, she's most annoyed about the whole situation. So the next scene is Sam's girlfriend, Erica Marlowe. I should have said, actually. So she's played by an actress called Amy Lacaine. And if you don't know her, she played the love interest in Cry Baby with Johnny Depp, which I've seen a few times and it's all right, I suppose. Anyway, she's in there having a go at Scrooge going, I know what you did. You cheated at cards and all that lot. And Scrooge is like, oh, what are you going to do? You can't tell everyone. If you tell everyone, I'll destroy you or whatever. And she sort of storms out and Scrooge is chasing after her and he trips over one of his bags of money, falls over the banister of the landing because he's up there upstairs, and he falls and dies landing at the bottom and he's dead. So that's nice, I suppose. So then the next scene is Tiny Tim's funeral the following Christmas. I've no idea what's going on there. Unless it's some sort of weird memorial that they're having a year after Tiny Tim died. Or maybe, because it made it look like Tim died not long after Scrooge died. Because there's a bit where After Scrooge has fallen down over the landing and died, Cratchit's running by outside carrying Tiny Tim, and it's like he's ill, like he's trying to get him to the doctor. I could be, maybe he lasted another 12 months, I don't know. Anyway, the next scene is his funeral, and Scrooge is most upset about this, and he's having a go at the ghost of yet to come, and we finally see his face, and to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure who it was meant to be, because when he sees the face, he's like, I think it might have been his dad, I'm not 100% sure. And then Scrooge wakes up. And he wakes up to the sound of Sam calling him out, going, Scrooge, you better get out here. You better get out here, Scrooge, because I'm going to shoot you up and stuff. Scrooge comes downstairs, and it's quite interesting, actually, because like, he's like, you know, they're standing there ready to draw, and Sam shoots, and because his eyesight's so bad, completely misses Scrooge, and Scrooge just, and Scrooge stands there because he knows how bad Sam's eyesight is, so just... Then he just walks straight towards him. You think, oh, what's he going to do? And he's like, gives him back all his money, gives him back all his horse and says, you can keep your house. I'm really, you know. Then he gives the saloon to Erica, which he should have done anyway because his business partner, Jacob Marlowe, and he wanted to give it to his daughter when he died anyway, but Scrooge kept it. And he's also offered to pay for the wedding of Sam and Erica, which is really nice. Then he goes round to the Cratchits with a lot of gifts and he tells Tiny Tim that he's going to take him to Philadelphia where he'll get well again because they've got some treatment there. And this is quite interesting because it ends, they're having like a town pageant bit and there's like the scene and they're like, oh, where's Father Christmas? And Father Christmas turns up on the back of the horse and it's Scrooge again and everyone boos. And then he's like, oh, and he starts singing a song and it's the same song he was singing when he was a little boy. And gradually, everyone joins in, and they all lived happily ever after. And that's that. Goodness, that took a while, didn't it? I didn't mind that. Maybe you skipped forward it. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Anyway, I've gone through the whole thing. I can't really compare it to the original. Actually, that's interesting, because I was going to say there's no bought bit with the boy in the street, but there almost is. It's Ricky Schroeder. Come and get down here, Scrooge. I'm going to shoot you, or whatever he said. So, yeah, now, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast before. One of my favourite things in this world is sitting down on my own overnight with a lot of cans of lager and watching a Western and eating a curry. That's my perfect evening of me time, is just eating a curry, watching a Western, drinking lager. And this one wasn't that great. Despite the fact that I love Westerns, this one was not that great. It was obvious it was made for TV. There were certain bits of it that were a bit contrived. Sadly, I didn't love it. But at the same time, I'm really glad that I did get to see it because it's another version of A Christmas Carol and it's one that I found very interesting. I didn't mind their take on it. It didn't feel that Christmassy, you know, but some of these versions don't. If you change the setting of A Christmas Carol, it can really take the Christmas out of it, and that's sort of what it felt like with this one. The acting was fine, you know, it's nice to see Jack Palance. I'm a fan of his. I also like Ricky Schroeder, you know, the acting was fine. It's just didn't really do it for me. I don't think I'll necessarily go back to it again, but if you haven't seen it and you fancy it, why not check it out? Have a look at something a bit different. Thanks again to Bob for sending that through. And now the next segment is Bob again. Here we go.
Do you hear what I hear?
So he's back again. This is our self-appointed podcast barman, Bob Baker. He's doing his... I was going to say weekly segment, but it's not, is it? It's fortnightly, because the show's fortnightly. His regular segment, Do You Hear What I Hear? Before I play that, he also mentioned in his email, this is what he said. I love that you answer my questions about the various movies, etc., on the show. So I have to ask you about The Hogfather. What do you think of it? I understand that it's somewhat of a Christmas tradition on TV in England. I read the book first before I saw the show. I liked the story and thought it was very funny, but I'm not sure that the humour transfers as well to video. It was just okay. So, yeah, I remember when it came out in the UK. Now, The Hogfather is a film version of the novel The Hogfather by Terry Pratchett. It's one of his Discworld novels. The book originally came out in 1996, and The Hogfather himself, he's like a Father Christmas character, and he flies through the air in his sleigh, which is pulled by four wild boar, and he delivers presents to all the good children on Hogswatch Night, which is the 32nd of December. It's kind of like the Discworld version of Christmas. So it was a Christmas-themed film. It came out, the film, the live-action version, it was 3 hours long. They showed it in two one-and-a-half-hour episodes on, I think it was the day before Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve, so that's the 23rd and the 24th of December in the UK. And it was made by Sky Television. Now, Sky TV is the big satellite TV company in the UK. Now, this is going back to 2006. So it's before everything was like streamed online. And so not everyone had Sky. Sky sort of was fairly popular, Sky TV. I never had it back then, though. But my mate did. And I remember being around his house like the weeks before the film came out, and they were advertising it non-stop. They were really pushing this one, and I think when it was shown, it was like one of the biggest audiences Sky had ever had, definitely for like an original production they'd done. So I didn't get to see it when it first came out, but it was a huge success on TV. I think it was shown in cinemas as well, but I bought it, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago on DVD. It was like a double disc set because it was so long, and didn't really care for it, to be honest. I'd read the book many years before, and I really enjoyed all of Terry Pratchett's Discworld books. But the problem is exactly what Bob said. Terry Pratchett's writing is really, really funny, but when you take it from the page and put it on a film, the humour doesn't translate. You can't really take it across because his humour's in like what people are thinking rather than what's actually happening, or the descriptions he gives rather than what you actually see on screen. So yeah, it seemed a bit bland, to be honest. I didn't care for it at all. And it wasn't that Christmassy, really, I didn't think, which is a shame. But yeah, my take is pretty much the same as yours on that one, Bob. If you want to go out and watch The Hogfather, you know, you can pick up the DVD fairly easily. The only thing I'll say is I don't think it is much of a tradition. You said in your email that you think, you know, it's become a tradition. I don't even know if Sky shows it every year. I don't think it's ever been on any of the other channels. It might probably on streaming on like Amazon Prime or something now, but you'd have to pay for it. But I don't know that it is. If Sky does show it every year, there's not much fanfare about it. It's not. If you asked the average Joe in the street, I don't think they would have watched it, and I don't think they'd know much about it. Yeah, but that's The Hogfather. But now it's time for Bob's Do You Hear What I Hear? And this week he's talking about Christmas jumpers.
It's Do You Hear What I Hear? Bridging our cultures one gap at a time. I am Bob Baker, the self-appointed barman, here to remind you that alcohol is responsible for some of the best times you'll never remember. We are talking today about holiday jumpers, which, as you will see, clearly illustrates the wide Atlantic Ocean of understanding between us. When Americans speak of holiday jumpers, we are thinking more along the lines of George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. When we say jumper, we mean a discouraged soul at Christmas time who doesn't see much to live for. However, this is an urban myth that people are more unhappy at the holidays. In fact, recent studies have shown that people are no more depressed at Christmas than at other times of the year. In addition, data shows that September is the busiest month for births overall, which means a December conception. So there is jumping going on, but just not the sad kind. Now, I know that a holiday jumper for our English mates is what Americans would call a sweater, preferably an ugly Christmas one. Now, I get why we call it a sweater, because it causes you to sweat, and it's itchy. But for the English, does it cause you to jump? I mean, I have to admit that jumper sounds a lot more fun than sweater. And if you think about it, the most popular birthday in the UK is September 26th, so maybe we have a lot more in common than we think. Cheers, and Happy Christmas.
I want to say a massive thank you again to Bob for sending that through. He always does a fantastic job. I've already got the one for the next episode. He sent that through, so that's something for us all to look forward to. So thanks again, Bob. Now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation is books by Terry Pratchett. I just thought of it just in the last segment. Now, I remember, goodness, how old was I? I was been about probably nearly, I think I was about 27, so that's 20 years ago, goodness me. How old are my kids? Do the maths on that one. I was travelling, actually, and a guy that I was working with, I was in New Zealand, I think. Yeah, I was in New Zealand, and this guy was talking about the Terry Pratchett books, and I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen them advertised, but I never really sort of fancied giving them a read. But when I was travelling, I used to read quite a lot. So I was in a secondhand bookshop, and I found a Discworld book, Terry Pratchett one, and I loved it. And I think before I'd even got back to the UK, I'd read like nearly half the Discworld novels, and there are loads of Discworld novels. In fact, there's 41 novels based in the Discworld, and they were written over a period of 32 years by Terry Pratchett. If you're not familiar with the Discworld, it's so hard to explain, actually. But the idea of the Discworld itself is it is a huge disc that is on the back of four elephants that are on the back of a giant turtle that floats through space. And the Discworld itself is sort of like a flattened out version of the world, but it's got wizards and witches. A lot of the stories are based in a city called Ankh Morpork. And that's just, do you know what? I can't. If you've never heard of the Discworld novels, go and read at least one of them. I'd suggest starting with like something like The Watch was one of my favourites, or Weird Sisters. They were quite early ones, and they were a good way to get yourself into it. I think the first one I ever read was Weird Sisters, and I remember reading it thinking, why did I not read these earlier? They are just so good. Sadly, Terry Pratchett passed away in 2015, and with that obviously came the end of the Discworld novels. Like I was saying in the earlier segment, a few times they've tried to transfer it to television or movie, but nah, it's not really done that well. But the books are fantastic. And, of course, if you've been doing a podcast, there's the audiobooks. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that would recommend going out and listening to dodgy websites where you can stream audiobooks for free, but if you type in Terry Pratchett audiobook online for free, there's a few websites that come up where you can listen to his books online for free. So yeah, I should feel ashamed of that, shouldn't I, telling you that? But they're there, you know what I mean? You don't need me to tell you that stuff like that's out there. But the books themselves, to be honest, probably better to read them yourself than to listen to them online, because I've been listening to one or two recently, actually, while I've been working, and listening to them is just not as good as reading them. The books, they are fantastic, and they are so very, very funny. He was such a clever man, Terry Pratchett, and it was such a shame to lose him. So that is this episode's recommendation. That's 41 books you can go out and read, all on the Discworld series by Terry Pratchett. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I'm going to be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, why don't you get in touch? Why don't you? We hardly talk anymore, you and I. I mean, me and Bob, we're chatting a lot, and I'm surprised you're not a bit jealous about me and Bob's relationship. I'm surprised you're not like, why is he going on about Bob all the time? Oh, we used to be such close friends, and we did used to be such close friends. So send that email in and tell me about your worst ever Christmas present, or the time you found out about Santa Claus, or just a suggestion for the show if you want, whatever floats your boat, or don't. Do you know what I mean? It's entirely up to you. I'm going to be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you, despite the fact that you won't contact me. I love you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone!